T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, it's Offsides with Mark and Lonzo right here on ESPN Upstate. So my guy, Josh Pate, was I saw him on Twitter earlier today. He's saying, yo, why is it always a QB controversy when it's at the QB position? And it's never – it's only competition when it's at any other position. Why does the QB position itself make it a controversy? And my theory on that is simply this, that the QBs are soft, that the egos at that particular position are so much that they can't handle competition.
You know what? I want to jump in real quick and completely agree with you again. As a former offensive lineman, both in high school and college, QBs are definitely soft. You're absolutely right.
Why? Why, Lotsa? Why is that?
Well, they need someone like me to take care of them because they can't protect themselves.
Yeah, but the point is well taken by Josh Pate. He's like, look, man, it's a competition everywhere else. It's a controversy at the quarterback position, and it's becoming even more that way because guys like JT Daniels leave as soon as they lose their job. Well, how about going back and beating Slovis at USC, showing the coaching staff that there was a reason they made you the guy to begin with?
You know,
right?
A radio can be that way, too. I just want to point that out.
Certainly can be the case. All right. Joining us right now is a friend of the show. You hear him on each and every week at this particular time. He's got some unbelievably great college football content available through 24/7 Sports, including he's the host of the Late Kick podcast on YouTube and the Late Kick podcast as well. 24/7 Sports National Director of Video, Josh Pate, joins us right now. Josh, that's my theory, man. Quarterbacks, the ego, thin-skinned, soft, a little sensitive. Perhaps I'm being too harsh.
Oh, no, man. Listen, it's the same way with starting pitchers. Back in a former life, I was a coach. And even when I was in Little League, I handled our pitching staff. And it used to just infuriate the rest of our team because I go overboard. I mean, I'd almost create this little bubble that our pitchers lived in, so much so that, for instance, like I would find areas of shade for them to be able to sit in between their bullpen sessions. And so, yes, certainly there's a softness here. But listen, I've been asking this today. By the way, it's May 28th. I don't know if you guys have been told that nothing's going on in football, but for nothing to be going on, it sure does seem like a busy day. But I digress.
Yeah,
I've talked to people all day about this. I've gone back and forth with Georgia fans all day about this, but this has been a sticking point for me for years. The first thing is, really, it's the whole quarterback controversy aspect of this whole deal. About 75% of the time is just someone in our line of work looking for a headline and clicks. That's about 75% of it. And then you got the other 25% where we genuinely have a mentality that exists within a given program that – what is healthy at every other position can be toxic at the quarterback position. And so I put it out there today, like you said on Twitter, not the first time I've done it, but I put it out there today, and all the answers are so commonsensical. It's like, why is this the case? Why is quarterback controversy the way we term it, but we've never had a left guard controversy? And so people come back with the most obvious thing in the world. Well, Josh, there's only one quarterback on the field. What does that mean? I don't even know what that means. I know what it means. There's only one spot. I get that. But let's say the other offensive guard spot's locked down, so there's only one guard spot left. Okay, well, now I've evened it out. So now everyone's fighting over one last guard spot. But how many positions there are is irrelevant to the principle that's in play. if competition is healthy in order to get the best of the best on the field at every other position, what changes from the value that competition brings and the principle of what competition brings to a program? What changes? And the answer is nothing. All that changes is this position gets more attention, this position gets more headline, this position gets more hype, but all that's outside the bubble of what competition means. All that's outside the bubble of what actually wins. That stuff means nothing to me. That's cotton candy. We're talking about steak. What's the difference? The answer is there is no difference. And one of the most popular retorts that I've had today, I'm going to address this on our show tonight. I'm really just practicing with you right now, Mark. One of the most popular retorts that I've gotten today is, well, you got to be careful because this could really mess up the chemistry of a quarterback room. So let's answer what we're going for. Are we trying to build at any given point, let's say you're at Georgia, are you trying to build a championship culture and a championship caliber program? If you are, then ask yourself, if competition being present in your quarterback room, if competition alone is enough to fracture the psyche of that room, what kind of culture did you have built there to begin with? My answer would probably be not a really good one. Second retort I've gotten today that I'm pretty fired up to address tonight too. Well, if you got two quarterbacks, you have none. That's a really popular statement, but it's also, it's possible for a statement to be popular and BS at the same time. It's ironic that Georgia folks are bringing this to me because I think back to just 2017 when they went into halftime leading a team. And that quarterback from that other team who was an all-SEC offensive player gets benched, and another one comes in and beats them for a national championship. Fast forward 1 year, same building, SEC championship game. The inverse happens, and both times, two quarterbacks came in and kept Georgia from a championship. And if I'm not mistaken, in this last draft, one of them went first round and one of them went second round. So it seems to me like Alabama had far more than zero quarterbacks both times they beat Georgia most recently. I'm done, Mark.
There you go, man. Love the rant, man. Love the rant. So here's the thing, a couple things on that. I hate how quarterbacks today, if you recruit more than one of them, they act as though you are cheating in an exclusive relationship, right? No. We want to make the position as, you know, as stout as we possibly can. You know, much has been discussed about the devaluing of the running back position at all levels, but you see a stable of running backs. We continue to hear that. Is there a particular reason, Josh, and my producer was a player in college, I was not, but I've never fully and completely grasped why you have to have, quote, the guy at the quarterback position. You know, I think Florida this year you will see an attempt to have more than one guy, with perhaps a 75-25 split between Kyle Trask and Emory Jones. Do you really have to have the guy at that particular position, one guy, singular, only, exclusive relationship, nobody else, or it's considered cheating?
I think if you have a specialized system like, for instance, Florida could have this year, or the early years of Urban Meyer. Florida had a system there with Leak and Tebow that worked, as far as I can remember, pretty well, too. Sure. If you've got a specialized system that caters to that, then you can pull it off seamlessly. It's just that most people try and do things the way it's always been done, and therefore for them, yeah, you got to have a guy, and really the reason they have to have it is because they think they have to have it. But to go back to the point that you just made a second ago, the whole don't recruit any quarterback other than me in this class or you're kind of cheating on me, you know, that can be viewed as pathetic on the surface, but it can also be a blessing. And you're about to find out, for instance, with this class, with this Georgia class, they got a high four-star or five-star quarterback named Brock Vandergriff committed. I just did like an hour's worth of editing video of him today, so I've seen a lot of him today. But he is still in high school. He has not signed with Georgia yet, so he's free to back out of his verbal commitment anytime he wants to. You get to find out a lot about the competitive character and makeup because you can't paint every one of them with a broad brush. A lot of them would be probably soft enough or just not like the situation enough to back out and go somewhere where there's probably an easier path to playing time. But the thing about it is you're not trying to go 8-4. Again, what culture are you trying to implement? You want to win championships at Georgia. You want to be the best program in the country. So there are not going to be very many kids per recruiting cycle that are mentally wired the way that you want a kid to be mentally wired. but you don't have to land 15 quarterbacks a cycle. You want to land one of them or maybe two of them per cycle, and then you let the chips fall where they may, and very rarely are you going to have just a line full of kids coming through your program staying 4 years at that position anyway. It's not the way it works. It hardly works like that at any position anymore, much less quarterback. You got to keep stacking talent on top of talent on top of talent, and if it turns a guy off, if that guy is not mentally tough enough to embrace that competition, what was he going to be when it's tied 17-all on the road at Florida or against Florida in Jacksonville early in the fourth quarter? Like, that's where he was going to wilt for you. So I'd much rather find out that a kid doesn't have it from the neck up when he's a senior in college than I would when I put him on the field and my job's on the line based on his performance.
All of this reminds me of Les Miles circa 2012 LSU talking about Gunnar Kiel when he said Gunnar Kiel didn't have the chest and the ability to lead the LSU program. Les took a lot of heat for that, but I think some of the points that he was making were very, very, very well taken. So today's news, just made official by JT Daniels himself in the last 25 minutes. He's transferring to Georgia. Forgive me, Josh, but the transfer rules are so convoluted right now. Is there any way he can play right away?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that the rules aren't convoluted, because I talked to someone within the last couple of hours about this, and the thinking right now is he is not eligible if you go by the letter of the law. But what is the letter of the law worth, really, when we're talking about the NCAA legislation, NCAA rule book? So the feeling amongst his camp is, let's get the paperwork done, let's get to Georgia, and then let's settle in, let's go through the proper legal channels, and it's not like this is an impenetrable wall around the NCAA's rule book. So people, you know, Tate Martell most recently got himself eligible at Miami. What stops me from getting myself eligible here? And there's a thought that there is a better than just slight chance that he could find a way to get himself eligible. But I'll tell you this, Mark, even then, as much as I have applauded this move, I don't just assume that he's your starting quarterback at any point this season, even if he does land there.
Yeah, it's interesting. And you know, look, a lot of these guys, these highly touted players, they end up not working out. JT Daniels, you know, USC is firmly committed to Slovis moving forward here after his unbelievable year. Third string guy, unbelievable depth for USC at that position. As a freshman, JT Daniels, 2,672 yards, 14 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. I get the sense with Jamie Newman essentially having already been promised the starting job at Georgia, that it wouldn't be Kirby Smart's best look to move away from that at this point, right? Given the sensitivity, as we've already discussed, about the egos at that particular position. It seems to me that a promise is known there, right, Josh?
If it is, I haven't been told that.
Okay.
That's not to say it hasn't. And I think what's more likely there is sort of a mutual assumption that it's his job. But listen, you are really handcuffing yourself the moment you start promising playing time to anyone. And I don't really think that Georgia had to crawl over broken glass to Jamie Newman's doorstep to entice him to come there. Sure. I think that was viewed, again, mutually as a very beneficial marriage, the likes of which it never required Georgia to have to promise this and that. I think they told him, come here and we're going to give you the opportunity to compete. Here's our depth chart. You look at it and see how you think you fit in. But I don't think that they ever promised him, once you come here, that's it, that's all. It doesn't matter if Joe Montana falls in our lap in the transfer market as a possibility, we're not taking him. And so, again, going back to the point we made, you'll find out a lot about the competitive makeup of the guys already on campus, the guys that you have committed. And if someone is about that competition, you want them. Whether they win the job or not, you want them. Again, go back to the Alabama example very recently. But if they're not about it, you want to find out right now. So it's a double-edged sword, but both sides can really sharpen your program instead of stabbing you in the neck here.
What is Georgia getting in the quarterback, JT Daniels, moving forward? Somewhat of a disappointing freshman campaign, then again, really thrown to the wolves his freshman season as well, Josh.
Yeah, I think he's a guy, who has obviously all the arm talent, you know, basically all the physical boxes that you would check, he has. I talked to someone about a month ago who's pretty dialed in, especially on quarterback play, someone whose opinion I value a lot. And the biggest concern around Daniels is he's a guy who had not a low ceiling necessarily, but he was a guy that was a lot more advanced coming out of high school, and he was a guy that was a lot closer to having already peaked. And whereas you may put someone in the driver's seat as a true freshman normally, and what you get out of them is just a glimpse as to what you would expect next year and the year after that, there's some thought out there, and this isn't coming from me. This is not my observation. I don't feel qualified to give you an observation on this, to be honest with you. But people whose opinion I would trust, one in particular, said, keep an eye on him wherever he lands. Keep an eye on him. He might be a guy whose best football you saw already. And so that's the one thing that I would look at there. And Georgia does not have this track record of pumping out first-round quarterbacks, but this goes to another point that we're going to talk about tonight. You don't have that until you have it. And they just made a change at offensive coordinator. So we don't know at this very moment in time how equipped Georgia is to develop at the quarterback position, because they just overturned the most important position on the offensive side of the ball there.
That is certainly the case. So we're hearing interesting stuff there, Josh. We're hearing that 75% of FBS schools are expected to be in facilities preparing for the season during the month of June. Given all of the calls you've made, all of the information that is coming into you, Josh, do you believe we are looking at an on-time start potentially to the college football season?
I do. In most places in the country, I do. Kind of like we talked about last week, I get the sense that the pendulum started to swing back really last week, within the last 2 weeks. And now that everyone's kind of gotten on board, what it really took was someone to step up. And when one person steps up and starts moving in that direction, then the rest of them can look around. And then once they realize, oh, well, no one's biting his head off or her head off, then it's kind of like watching seals all clap together. Then they all start clapping in unison. And it's really not that anyone or any 10 or any 100 of them are coming across this new information. It's just a herd mentality. Someone had to step out in front, and the usual suspects always do, and then the rest of the herd will kind of follow closely behind. That's the way the college football season will start on time, and I believe it will start on time.
You know, that's absolutely fascinating. As you know, we've heard, as you mentioned, the usual leaders, the SEC, comes out and says, we're opening our doors on June 8th. You know, then we hear Clemson's opening its doors on June 8th, and then we hear Oklahoma, who Lincoln Riley was kind of the lone voice out there expressing some concern about that particular date, opening up on July 1st. Does a July 1st open date, what kind of disadvantage does that place Oklahoma at competitively?
I think it places you at one. Also, keep in mind, they are starting a new quarterback this year. Now, he's a guy who's been on campus, so he's not a guy who's having to come in off the transfer market or having to come in as a true freshman and learn the entire system on the fly. But, you know, they've got a lot of overhauling still to do defensively. They had a ton of guys transfer out. Alex Grinch is in his second year as a defensive coordinator there. But we saw what happened in Atlanta against LSU. That's still very much a work in progress. And listen, it's not that I've sat there and nodded my head in agreement with everything Lincoln Riley has said, but I will give him credit for this. If it's going to come out of your mouth, be convicted enough to stand behind it. And so them, as it stands right now, opening a month after a lot of the teams that they could in all likelihood be directly competing with for playoff spots, it at least shows they're convicted in what they were saying, as opposed to maybe some other places where it sounded like they may not get back on the field this decade. And then a week later, well, we've got an announcement when camps are going to open.
Sure, indeed. Josh, excited about your podcast tonight. Looking forward to checking that out, and also Late Kick on YouTube. What time can we expect that to be available for everybody?
Yeah, we do that live every Thursday night and Sunday night on the Late Kick or on the 24/7 Sports YouTube channel. In fact, the link's already there if you guys want to go set a reminder, subscribe there, click that little bell for notifications. It lets you know when we go live. That posts as a podcast on the Late Kick podcast channel the following morning, and we do a bonus podcast every Wednesday, which is nothing but a mailbag, and that's been the most fun I've had out of all this, to be honest with you.
Fantastic. Be sure to check it out. He is 24/7 Sports National Director of Video. Josh, always appreciate having you on, pal. Thanks so much. Be safe. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Mark. You guys take care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.